new report that has just come out on the prisons is very, we will link to and let you see it, and at the website prisoncommission.org. That does it for the show. Democracy Now! Produced by Mike Berkshire, Hubba Gadoosh, John Hamilton, Elizabeth Press, Yoruba Richin, Aaron Mate, Frank Lopez, Mike DeFilippo, and Nick Marsilio are engineers. Our website is democracynow.org. We do have a part-time TV graphics position open. You can go to our website at democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
And you are tuned to radio station WUSB Stony Brook. It's 6:01, which means, once again, it's time for Off the Wall. And my apologies, as always, for the extended theme here. But we're having technical problems, I guess. Maybe I should just start the show early, because technical problems could be an extra five-minute feature. But I really wanted to take phone calls today. I was looking forward to this, and the delay system is not working. No matter what I do. Look at that. I moved the microphone, and the microphone turned off. This is not my day. When is my day? I'd like to know when my day is, because it's never my day. Okay, what I'm going to try and do here, the way the delay system works, we have two channels here. We have a channel called Program, we have a channel called Audition. Audition is what you're not supposed to put over the air, unless you're using delay, in which case you speak into Audition and it comes out in Program 7 seconds later. That's the extent of it. That's how it works. That is what we're having difficulty with, because it's just not coming out in Program. I have all the right switches down, and the machine is on. I've jiggled everything. I've turned it around. What I'm going to do now is play something in Audition. All right? This is what I'm going to play, in fact. That's going to be played over here. Now you can't hear it because I'm playing it in the other channel, but it should be coming up in 7 seconds on the delay channel, and it's not. Well, 7 seconds haven't passed yet, but as you can hear, it's... Well, you can't hear, but it is up. It's up as high as it can possibly go. I'm jiggling everything. I'm even opening up the board and touching the bare wires in the back, because that's how much I believe in the ability to take phone calls on this radio station. And because of the FCC, we don't really have the... you don't have any idea what's going on here, do you? No, I don't think so. No, there's no way. There's no way this is working. See, that's not coming up. That's broken. Can you tell somebody down the hall or whatever? This does not work. No matter what, I'm hitting it. It's not working. Is there something plugged in that shouldn't be plugged in, or something not plugged in that should be?
That's 8.
Channel 8. Switch number 2. Now, I don't think having something plugged into 6 would affect 8, but then again, this is USB, so it's possible.
Alright.
I'm going to move the phone over there, too. Maybe that has something to do with it. You know, it's not working. It's not working. Well, if you see anybody out there who might know how to fix the delay system in the next few minutes, that would be very nice, because, I mean, the listeners have been very patient. We've been going through this for about a year now, trying to get the delay system installed. Now it's installed, and it's just staring me in the face. I don't think it's the delay system. I think it's this pot here. Pot being short for potentiometer, which is basically a fancy way of saying knob. Is there something else that can come up on here? Booth. Would you go into the booth and turn the microphone on, and I can see if I can hear you in there? I'm sorry, folks, for the troubleshooting over the air, but this has to be done, because otherwise we're never going to know what the problem is. Okay, I've turned up a different... thrown down a different knob. Is anybody there? Okay, I don't think there's any signal coming through on this. Oh, I hear something. I hear static. Okay, well, that's a step, anyway. It means there's something coming out over this... You know, I just think the gods are against us.
There's no microphone in the booth.
There's no mic, but I heard static. I heard static. There was no microphone, that's why I couldn't hear you. But I heard static, which means this thing is working. But the switch, I think it's the switch that's not working.
Surprising.
Yeah. Oh, well. Thanks thanks for your help, anyway. If you see anybody out there who looks like they know what they're doing, send them on in. Oh! You're not going to believe it, but it's working now. Oh, that doesn't make any sense. I didn't do anything. I really didn't.
You jiggled the switch.
But I jiggled the switch before, many, many times.
Each and every Monday night.
Thank you.
From 10 p.m. I'm John Owen. I'll speak to
that, my friends. All right. Okay, you can shut up now. That's a small taste of a typical day here at WUSB trying to get the equipment to work. But wouldn't trade it for one of those clear channel stations, no matter how much money they threw our direction. And boy, have they ever tried. Oh, you wouldn't believe it. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. At 18:45 Eastern Time, if you can't figure out what that means, you know, you got more work to do before you can actually make a telephone call. 18:45 Eastern Time. Please give a call to Country Code 1, area code 631, phone number 632. WUSB, which is 9872. And I say that for those of you who are listening on the internet, because I know lots of times it takes a couple of minutes for the wait a minute, I'm not in delay. You see, that's the problem. Yeah, I'm going to be very confused here. Okay, I'm going to have to go away for 7 seconds and come back, and hopefully this will work. Please stand by. Okay, here I am. I'm back. I hope this is working. I'll know in a second if it is. Gosh. Yeah, it is working. It is working. I verify that it's working. But it's not working very well because I can barely hear myself. Okay, I have to turn it up a little bit. Okay. I had it all planned out, all right? I had it all planned. You know, I don't have the music underneath me now because I'm doing this in a different channel than the music is in. So it's even more complicated than you could possibly imagine. But that's okay. That's okay. No problem at all. As I was saying, at 1845, 6:45 p.m., okay? Give us a call, 631-632-9872. And let us know what's on your mind, because we haven't talked in a while, and we'd certainly like to hear from you. Of course, we can't trust you to talk on the air, thanks to the FCC. We have to go through these elaborate means to censor what you might say, because God forbid some minister someplace is listening and gets... Actually, I shouldn't pick on the ministers, because they're not really the ones who did all this. It's all the other right-wing crazy zealots out there who feel they have to control every part of our lives. And it's not about the children. It's not about protecting anybody like that. Kids are very resilient, and they can handle an occasional bad word. That's not what this is about. This is about controlling how you think, how you do things, how you live your life, and they'll get you in just about every way they possibly can. That's what they do. So, anyway, we have a bunch of things to cover, a bunch of news items. Actually, one thing I really would like to talk about right off the top, because it's kind of interesting to me. And as you may know, it's World Cup time once again. Once every 4 years, I get into this because it really is the coolest tournament on the planet, I think, where everybody, every single country in existence, takes part in some way. And it's simply incredible. Doesn't matter what continent you're on. Doesn't matter who you're at war with. The game of football, the game of soccer, is understood worldwide. And everybody agrees to the rules. Everybody plays a fairly clean game, and everybody celebrates when they win. And it means a lot. And I've been watching games in the last few days, and just cheering on the underdog every single time. I was even cheering on the United States yesterday. I really was. Because I want to see football and soccer and world things like that gain more of a foothold here in this country, because maybe then we'll actually have more in common with the rest of the world. As it is, we're always the ones that are outcasts. We're always the ones that everybody is pointing at and laughing. Well, actually, I don't think that's really what the main issue is. It's mostly that we're the ones out there messing things up for everybody else. Maybe I wasn't clear. Don't call now, call later. Because if you call now, it's just going to ring and ring and ring and eventually disconnect, and you will have wasted your time and that of the phone companies. Okay, so watching the World Cup, though, it's a challenge, because they have three games on every day now, and it's in Germany. Now, it was easy 4 years ago when it was in Japan and Korea, because the games would air in the middle of the night, and that happened to be when I was up, so I could watch them live. But now, if I want to see these things, I have to tape them and then see them sometime during the day. And, on top of that, avoid the news. God forbid. Now, I'm in the United States, so I'm not really that worried, but I'm worried that somebody will ruin it. Will say, oh my God, Ghana got slaughtered, and they lost to the Ukraine, or whatever. I don't want to ruin it, because it's fun to watch, or just to have on in the background while you're doing work. But you know, wouldn't you know it, the places you would never expect to have people ruin things for you, you run into people that never talk about sports. Oh my God, did you hear what happened to the U.S. today? Thanks a lot. You just saved me 2 hours. 2 hours of watching a fun game. You just got to be careful. It's tough. Or either that, or you have to get up at 8:30 in the morning to watch a soccer game, which I really don't want to do. So, yeah, it's been fun kind of just watching how it's all playing out. I got to say, though, with the exception of Trinidad and Tobago, the underdogs haven't really been that much of a force. Now, Trinidad and Tobago, they tied Sweden, and that to them is like winning the World Cup. It's incredible. I don't understand how this is even possible. Countries like Andorra and Liechtenstein, they have teams. Not in the World Cup, mind you, but they do have teams. And if you look at the standings in the World Cup qualifying, they've won games. Now, Andorra is a country about the size of the State University at Stony Brook, yet somehow they managed to beat a real country at some point, or at least tie a real country. And no offense to the people of Andorra, I'm sure I'm going to get letters. I just wonder, how do you get people together and organize them when the population must be so low? So, that's kind of what goes through your head when you're seeing these games going by. And the other thing, I've got the Canadian dish, so I'm able to see the games as they are broadcast to the rest of the world, as opposed to the way we see them here. And I think that might have something to do with the way people perceive organized sports. Here, it's perceived as just something stupid and mind-controlling and viral. And I say that in all due respect because I know a lot of people are into this. But when you see how the rest of the world watches it, it's just night and day. And what I did was I recorded some snippets. Yes, little snippets here. Actually, I'm going to go out of delay because it's just going to get too confusing if I stay in delay and do this. So I'll go back into delay later, but okay. Right now I'm going to come back.
Hurry up.
From delay into live land. Okay, I'm here now. I'm live. It's just easier for me to do this, and besides, the switch doesn't go the other direction than the turntable here, which is what I need to use to play this clip for you. Now, this is what it sounds like if you listen to Canadian broadcasting, which basically just simulcasts what the rest of the world is seeing. Now, this is a British announcer. I think he's with ITV. The funny thing is, there's no bug on the screen. There's nothing to indicate what network it is that you actually are tied into. And I think that's really cool. There's simply the score up in the top left and the amount of time that has gone on. No commercials, because you don't have commercials in the middle of a football game. That's just the way it is. But what you have is kind of this low-key expression of what's going on the field. You hear the crowd. The crowd is mic'd really high. The picture is full screen. The guy talks about what's happening on the field, pretty much keeping it to that, doesn't have stupid commentary back and forth, doesn't do self-promotion, the things that we're used to. There aren't all these things fluttering all over the screen. It's just basically you're at the game. You're watching it, you're hearing it, you're experiencing it. And if you choose to, you can listen to what this guy is saying, but if you're not paying attention to what he's saying, you're not really missing that much, and he's not really disturbing you. So for the next couple of minutes, I just would like to share that with you so that you know what it is that I've been experiencing as far as being able to see these things. And then we're going to compare it to the way people here experience it.
again, there was a challenge that the referee can still have given a free kick for, but allows play on because the Serbians will have possession, but not for long. Here's Robben now. Little thrown by here. Oh, it's too bad, Mr. Roy. It's a quick challenge by Gavrančić that took him away from the Manchester United striker, and then the Serbians are winning a free kick as well.
Okay, we're going to fade it down right about there, but that gives you an idea of what it's like. And listen to this, these long silences where the announcer doesn't say anything. You're just kind of taking in the mood of the whole thing, and it's just, that's what it should be all about. Now we come to the United States, and most of you here don't have a choice. You don't have the Canadian dish, you can't watch the foreign broadcast like the rest of the world does. What you have instead, you have these yammering idiots. I'm sorry, I don't mean to be too harsh here, but they really never shut up. I managed to count something like a 20-second gap between talking during the British guy. These guys, never more than 3 seconds. And there's always two of them. They're always going back and forth with inane chatter about various things. The screen is polluted with all sorts of nonsense. Now, if you listen here, you'll hear all kinds of, like, little rockety noises. Listen.
A little bit into the midfield. Alongside, really, Stankovic, the number 10.
Hear that?
Who likes to drift between the midfield.
Those are statistics.
And also to the left side, into the left player.
Yeah, zipping onto the field and zipping off the field.
Djordjevic, he is going to be playing at the number 11. You to see him in more as like a playmaking role as well. And then
that was the final one. When I say field, I mean screen. It basically took up half the screen with nonsense. Meanwhile, the game is still going on, but it's tiny. It's way off in the corner someplace. On the top, you have an ESPN logo on the left. You have an ESPN logo on the bottom right. You have a T-Mobile advertisement on the upper right. Somehow they managed to stretch the score out across the entire upper bar. On the bottom, you have a scrolling scoreboard. And, like some child who cannot pay attention, every 5 seconds something else has to jump up and alert you to something, either from the top or from the bottom. It just makes you want to run around and scream. It really, it's got nothing to do with the game. You're trying to pay attention to what's going on the screen, and it's just, it's like they're trying to distract you from it. Anyway, let's take a listen and compare.
The top of their lungs. Very good patience right now from the Dutch. They're just holding the ball possession. Serbia Montenegro dropping back as well. Seemed very content to just let the Dutch have it in their own half. And the Holland players really looking for those seams just to see how it's going to open up. Going to take 15, 20 minutes again. Every World Cup game takes that much time to open up a little bit and find the rhythms on the field.
Robben is brought down. Netherlands come in as the favorite side among these two. The tough group, some people, John, thought this was the group of death as opposed to the...
And since they won't shut up, I don't think I will either. Let me just point out, we're listening to the exact same portion of the exact same game, Serbia-Montenegro versus Holland. And pay attention to how much time they're actually talking about what's going on the field.
And play against a second-place team in Group D.
Played over that far side, USA will open up June 12th against the Czech Republic. Full coverage begins at 11 Eastern. That's from Yeltsin Kirchen. Dave O'Brien and Marcelo Balboa will have the call of that one.
So really, JP Holland looking to see if they can secure first place here, win the group, stay here. They get to play against the group of Group D. We said Mexico, Portugal, Iran, and Angola. So it could be Mexico, could be Portugal. First, second team, not sure.
Some teams have easy groups, certainly not the case in Group C or E. Mathiesen. Holland, no surprises, had much of the possession early. That's a Dutch trademark. They move the ball well. Always have. Robben was denied. Kalauf at the back. Grinjevic. Headed away and straight up the middle. The Dutch on the attack. Robben with a cutting ball, and that's cut off there. And this for Van Nistelrooy. And the foul is called. The referee, very experienced.
Yeah, that's a great observation. That referee is experienced, but it gives you a sense of just how silly it all is. All this, we know who's going to be announcing the game. We know who the United States is going to be playing. We know everything else that has nothing to do with the game we're watching right now. So, you know, I think the lesson here is if you don't have anything to say, just be quiet and let people enjoy it. And that's not what you get, unfortunately. It's sad. And I'm not a sports fan. This is probably why, because you have to deal with this kind of nonsense. But you just notice these differences, these stark differences, and I just wonder how many times you can hold one up next to the other and demonstrate just what is so different. Hopefully that's relevant in some way. But regardless, that's what I've been up to the last few days, trying to not hear the scores and trying to get as much enjoyment out of this as possible. It only happens once every 4 years, and it's the most truly international event, I think even more so than the Olympics, that come our way. We'll be taking phone calls again, like I said, in about 20 minutes or so. So if you're listening online, 6:45 p.m., give us a call, 631-632-9872. And as in the past, we're not going to pick up this one lone phone call calling in, because it's probably somebody with a speech to give who will never shut up, and we can't go to anybody else if there's nobody else there. Not to sound unhospitable to people giving speeches, but we do want to have a variety of views here. Okay, let's take a look at what's been going on in the news. None of it is really that good. Let's see here. We had suicides at Gitmo, Guantanamo Bay. First confirmed deaths following the hunger strikes, which we mentioned a couple of weeks ago. Now, this is the incredible thing. The U.S. military is calling it a planned event, as if that somehow negates it. As if that somehow means that, oh, these people cheated by killing themselves. Yeah. Two Saudis and one Yemeni. Is that how you say it? People from Yemen? Yemeni? Oh, whatever. They were each located in camp number one. They were found unresponsive and not breathing in their cells by guards. This was clearly a planned event, not a spontaneous event, said Rear Admiral Harry Harris, commander of Joint Task Force of Guantanamo. He added that there is a mythical belief that the Guantanamo detention center would be shut down if three detainees die. Okay, I'm not sure where that mythical belief came from, other than from his head. The suicide should surprise no one, because the detainees believe they will be held indefinitely with no chance for justice, said Josh Calangero-Bryan with the Center for Constitutional Rights, which represents about 200 of the detainees. They've been told that while at Guantanamo Bay, they have no rights as human beings. I think we've been told the same thing. They're not subject to any kind of laws. By rounding up these men from all over the world and confining them in an isolated penal colony without charge or trial, the United States has violated several U.S. and international laws and treaties. That's according to Jimena Mesa of Amnesty International. And there is more pressure now from the European Union to shut down Guantanamo Bay. What bothers me is that the pressure is coming from all these other entities. Why isn't the pressure coming from us, the people here, the people who live here, the people who have to basically say, yeah, that's our government doing these things? It's simply incredible how completely powerless we are, or how powerless we imagine ourselves to be. And that's what's been bothering me a lot lately, is just the inaction, the apathy, the resignation that we all seem to have now. How do we get around this? How do we get past this? Something has to happen. And when something does happen, are we going to stand up and say, yeah, it's about time something happened? Or are we just going to say, you know, the authorities really need to do something about this? We're being trained. We're being manipulated. And it's starting at very early ages. You get used to cops everywhere. You get used to being searched in schools. You get used to drug tests and blood tests and lie detector tests. And before you know it, do you think that's the way the world is supposed to be? So the European Union is saying Guantanamo should be closed, and this is an occasion to reiterate that statement. Guantanamo Bay holds about 460 prisoners captured in the wake of the U.S.-led invasion of Afghanistan. And it's really a scandal. It's a great big scandal. And what else? All sorts of things have been happening around the world. Most still think the Iraq War is a mistake. Despite the killing of Abu Musab al-Zarqawi, who, by the way, they're doing an autopsy on him. What's the point of this? What's the point of doing an autopsy on somebody who you fire a missile at? Were they going to show that actually he was choking when you struck the house with a missile? What? Is this just a practice or something for medical students to learn how to do an autopsy? You fire missiles at a house with guys inside it and they die. What do you think they died of? They died of missiles. Well, anyway, they say his cell phone managed to help track him. Cell phones, they're just bad news in so many ways. An Iraqi Army colonel has said that intelligence from cell phone technology helped U.S. forces find and kill al-Zarqawi. Colonel Dia Tamini said he worked with U.S. forces to monitor al-Zarqawi and his associates' cell phones, helping to lead to Wednesday night's airstrike. I don't know. I think if you're wanted that badly, you sort of stay off the cell phones and kind of like not encourage their use around you either. Because they really are. They really are monitoring devices, and they will become more so. Okay, what else? Here's one that the NRA will never tell you about. You heard about this story a couple of weeks ago where an entire family got massacred in this house in Indiana? It was horrible. And apparently what happened, this is what's coming out now, the slayings of seven family members unfolded when one victim returned home and drew a weapon as two gunmen were ransacking the house. Yeah. And then that's when the massacre started. So that gun in the house didn't really do a whole lot there, did it? In fact, that gun in the house probably led to this thing happening. It's really horrible, but it goes to show how that argument oftentimes leads to worse things rather than salvation. I mean, it's hard to say that, yeah, you should just lie down and take something like that, but you know what? If a bunch of people are in your house heavily armed and asking for money, it's probably not the best time to go one-on-one with them or one-on-six with them or whatever. Your best chance of survival is to do what they say. Right? I mean, that's common sense, isn't it? Okay. On the subject of cell phones, Cambodian Prime Minister Hun Sen has banned 3G mobile phones after a complaint from his wife and her friends about receiving pornography on them. Yeah, that's right. I have written to the Minister of Telecommunications to delay the use of certain mobile phones, Hun Sen told an assembly of Buddhist monks in Phnom Penh. We can wait 10 more years until we have managed to improve morality in society. Oh, doesn't that sound familiar? Hun Sen, a one-eyed former Khmer Rouge soldier who has been in charge for the past 20 years, said his wife had signed a petition asking him to act against the phones, which can send video as well as still images. Sexual violence and abuse are common in the war-scarred Southeastern Asian nation. Cambodia's first 3G, which stands for third-generation phone, or mobile network, rather, opened earlier this year, but few people can afford the phones. And now even fewer will be able to get them. And U.S. President George W. Bush has alienated Muslims all around the world by using absolutist Christian rhetoric to discuss foreign policy issues. That's according to former Secretary of State Madeleine Albright. I worked for two presidents who are men of faith, and they did not make their religious views part of American policy, she said, referring to Jimmy Carter and Bill Clinton. President Bush's certitude about what he believes in and the division between good and evil is, I think, different, said Albright, who has just published a book on religion and world affairs. The absolute truth is what makes Bush so worrying to some of us. Well, it's many things that make him worrying to many of us, but that certainly is on the list. And back by popular request, believe it or not, is our newest feature, SUVs in the News. Apparently people enjoy hearing about what SUVs are up to. Those mischievous monsters on the highway. I've had my own personal encounters. Every day I have at least one encounter with an SUV. I don't go out looking for trouble. I really don't. Driving down the highway the other day, there's a Jeep to my left, okay? He's not going very fast. I'm in my right-hand lane, slowly catching up to him, when all of a sudden this huge monstrosity barrels up behind the guy and gets right behind him and then tries to cut right in front of me as if I'm not even there. Apparently the thinking is that I'm big, I'm mighty, and you will move. And since I can't see you in my blind spot, I'm going to assume you did move. I'm not even going to signal. I'm just going to move as if I'm some momentous force of nature that you cannot control. Well, things didn't turn out the way he wanted them to. Or she. I think it might have been a she. There's no difference when you're driving an SUV. I'm sorry. No difference at all. All races are equal. All sexes are equal. You're all morons. And every day there's something else. I'm not going to get into the details. They'll just stress me out too much, and I just don't want to be stressed out any further. So let's get into what's stressing out other people. Or, as in this case, what's killing other people. In California, two police officers patrolling a beach in an SUV on Monday ran over and killed a sunbather. That's according to authorities. The officers did not immediately realize they ran over the woman and continued driving. They had stopped on a small patch of sand to watch a swimmer who they believed was in trouble. And when they saw that the swimmer was fine, they continued driving right over the woman's head. The woman was in town for her son's wedding. Oxnard, California. Two cops, one SUV, neither one can see somebody lying right in front of them on a beach. Why in God's name do cops have to drive trucks on beaches anyway? It always annoys me when they have to drive these vehicles in places where everybody is walking. To gain an advantage, what? Well, why not fly a helicopter then? It's silly, it's intimidating. And deadly. They do the same thing in Tompkins Square Park in New York. They drive their vehicles, oftentimes without the headlights on, at night, down pathways. And wonder why people react with hostility. No problem seeing a cop walking on his beat, you know, swinging the nightstick, whatever they used to do. How come that doesn't work anymore? I have to drive SUVs and run over people. Okay, now let's see, where are we now? Canada. The Insurance Bureau of Canada says North American-made SUVs are a hot commodity for terrorists. That's right. Vice President Rick Dubin estimates 20,000 stolen SUVs are shipped to countries like Lebanon and Iraq. Dubin says the vehicles can be sold for 3 to 5 times their value to fund terror organizations in those countries. He adds that terrorists love North American cars because they're larger, can be packed with more explosives, and can handle the local terrain. You know how they say when you buy drugs, it's funding terrorism? Well, now we can say the same thing about SUVs. Can we have a war against SUVs, please? Maybe Nancy Reagan will help us with this one. Just say no. Because it's stupid. Stupid and wasteful. And I've got my fingers crossed for $4 a gallon gas, because that's the only thing that will make these things disappear. And if you're smart, you can find something, no pun intended, you can find something that can get much, much better gas mileage, and you won't be paying a huge amount. Okay, where to next? Missouri? All right. Tim Murphy had just turned onto the Missouri 125 overpass above Interstate 44 on Monday when he heard a loud boom. Incidentally, all these stories, the rule is that they have to take place in the last couple of days. No old SUV stories here. Anyway, back to Tim Murphy. I looked on my mirror. I guess I looked on my mirror is a proper phrase. I looked at my mirror is what I would say, but then again, he's in Missouri. He can say what he wants. I looked on my mirror. I saw a car twisting in the air. I just stopped, said the Austin, Texas tractor-trailer rig driver. Okay, he's a Texan. Murphy then saw a large dent in the side of the trailer he was hauling. Had a sport utility vehicle on its side behind him. Wait a minute. Who wrote this story? You're driving? You see a car twisting in the air. Okay, fine. It's an SUV, first of all. It's not a car, but regardless. And then he sees a large dent. What, didn't he hear it? Didn't he feel it? Very weird. At first, he thought he might have pulled in front of another motorist. I thought I was going to jail, Murphy said. This story makes no sense. But anyway, it turned out that an airborne Toyota SUV had struck his northbound CR England tractor trailer around 10 a.m. The bizarre, which is the time it was when all this started. I don't know why they're introducing the time at this stage. The bizarre collision sent SUV driver Aaron Burdick, 22 years old, of Springfield, to St. John's Hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. Burdick apparently lost control while headed east by himself on the interstate. The SUV went up a grassy median behind the highway and the off-ramp before it became airborne. The driver does not remember much of what happened, but did recall the vehicle's speed was set on cruise control. Authorities are investigating whether to file charges. Very entertaining story there. Here's something from Consumer Affairs. A growing number of SUV owners unable to cope with rising gas prices are turning to arson to escape high car payments. That's according to published reports. The trend was first spotted in California during the summer of 2005 as gas prices spiked. Arson investigators report that firefighters responding to a report of a vehicle fire arrived at the Los Angeles riverbed to find two SUVs burning at the same time. According to police reports, the California arsonist would advise SUV owners to leave their keys in the ignition and $300 cash in the glove box. An accomplice would then take the car to a remote location and set the SUV on fire. After the SUV fire, the owners would contact their insurance company and report the vehicle stolen. California police launched a sting operation, and an undercover officer posed as an SUV owner who wanted his vehicle burned. The vehicle was left at a predetermined location with cash in the glove box. Yeah. What if you just leave your car with cash in a glove box? Your SUV, rather. Does that mean it's going to get burned, I wonder? Okay, San Diego. A woman from India who was in San Diego to attend a conference at the convention center was killed by a hit-and-run driver Sunday night. According to officials, the woman was crossing Harbor Drive against a red light at the intersection of Fifth Avenue at about 10:30 p.m. when a westbound light-colored SUV hit the woman and fled. The victim was pronounced dead at the scene. Anyone with information is urged to contact the San Diego police if you can weed out all the SUV hit-and-runs from Sunday. Let's see. Where is this one? I don't know where this one is. San Antonio. Okay. A teenager is killed in a weekend crash. Police say his 14-year-old cousin was behind the wheel. The 14-year-old was driving his parents' Suburban early Sunday morning when he apparently fell asleep at the wheel, and that SUV crashed into a concrete pillar, killing 16-year-old Terrell Giles. The boys were wearing seatbelts, no alcohol was involved, but as of Monday, investigators still aren't sure why the unidentified teen was driving. Well, doesn't really matter at this point now, does it? One man was killed and two New Jersey men were injured Sunday when they were thrown from an SUV that ran off Interstate 80 East, flipped over a guardrail, and crashed near a dike in Delaware Water Gap. Oh, the rest is just too depressing. Don't want to read the names of dead people, but it's a tragedy. And finally, This from North Carolina. Authorities say they're looking into whether the driver of sport utility vehicle may have fallen asleep before losing control of his vehicle and striking a Columbia man who died at the scene. No charges have been filed against the 18-year-old driver. The 2002 Jeep Cherokee struck the 67-year-old man and a utility pole shortly after 9 a.m. Authorities said they did not believe alcohol or drugs were factors. No, because you know what was a factor? SUVs. Yeah. It's true. It's sad, but it's true. Okay, you know what? We're going to open up the phones. It's time. And hopefully those phones will start ringing, 631-632-9872. But I've got to get back into delay. How am I going to do this? I have to get into delay somehow. Maybe if I bring that music up one more time. Don't panic. This is not the SUVs in the News feature repeating itself. It's me coming up with a way of gracefully coming back 7 seconds later. And here I am 7 seconds later, hopefully showing up in the on-air position. Our phone number, I've got to turn down the music too. Our phone number is 631-632-9872. And of course, I said I was going to turn down the music, and the music got turned down 7 seconds before I said that, because that's how it works when you are in delay. It's confusing. It's even more confusing when it doesn't work. But it's working now, so let's all give thanks and dial the telephone. I see there's one call on the line. That's fine, but we want more than one phone call. No offense, but you might be a crackpot. Yeah, that's how we have to think. It's unfortunate. It really is. So there's one other person out there who can get us directly to the phones by making that phone call. And just to be safe, if you're the second person out there, make a phone call too, because in case the first person hangs up, then we'll still have two people on the line. 631-632-9872. And while we're waiting for that, we'll read a couple of pieces of listener email, which we like to get. otw@2600.com is our email address. The question having to do with SUVs in the News. Can you tell me what song was playing in the background during the SUV in the News segment of May 2nd? Signed, Jarrett. Well, Jarrett, that's another piece, actually, from the Philip Glass soundtrack, which I have trouble pronouncing, Nagoyakatsi, Nagoyakatsi, is the title of that film, which I have not seen. I would like to. And you'll find that tune. You'll find the intro for the show on there as well. Okay, what else? Oh, we have a new phone call, but the first one hung up. You see, this is exactly what I said was going to happen. And now that person hung up. No, that's not how it's supposed to work. At the other radio station, they have it down. They have it down. Everybody calls in at the same time. We have five lines. They're just sitting there waiting. Sitting there waiting. After all the trouble we went through to go into delay tonight, the very least that you can do is give us a phone call and spout forth what's on your mind. I've done a lot of things. I've attacked the President of the United States. I've attacked the very concept of SUVs. I even criticized the NSA. Not NSA, NRA. But I will. The NSA sucks. There. NSA and NRA in one night. You're not going to get that on very many radio stations. So you must have something to say. You must have an opinion. No matter where you are, whether you're local, listening to me on the radio someplace, whether you're listening on the internet someplace else, our phone lines are open. They do not discriminate. 631-632-9872. That's our phone number, 631-632-WUSB. Okay, we have one phone call on the line, but you know, we have to have more than one listener. We have to have more. Okay, two. You see, that wasn't hard. Let's take that first phone call. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello.
How you doing? Speak up, please. Oh, you got dropped. Well, for some reason, though, you're not coming over on the board. You're coming over on the phone. Look at this. We have all five lines lit now. That's kind of cool. But keep speaking, sir.
Hi, Manuel. It's Bobson from Bulgaria.
You're from Bulgaria? You're calling us from Bulgaria?
Yeah. We met at Off the Hook last year, remember?
We met at Off the Hook? Oh, you mean What the Hack, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, What the Heck. I do remember you. We met at What the Heck. Yes, you're the Bulgarian.
Yep. Well, one of the three or four there, but
uh-huh.
It talks to me. Hey, I was wondering if you could tell me, I know you used the H340 iRiver thing to record things while you were traveling.
Yes.
In the past few years. But can you maybe tell us what microphone you were using, the outside mic for that? Is it a standard iRiver type?
Well, are you referring to any particular program that you heard? Because I did different microphones in different circumstances.
Well, no, I'm just wondering what kind of outside microphone were you using?
I used a professional microphone when I was traveling around the world last year, and that results in a much better sound quality. What I was using in Cuba, because I didn't want to be seen with a big microphone in Cuba, was the internal microphone on the iRiver itself. And while that has limitations, I think it came across sounding not bad overall.
So have you ever tried using it for live music or something like that?
I tried to record some live bands in Cuba, and that turned out to be a disaster because it was just so overmodulated. It might have been better if I had turned down the volume, but one of the problems with the iRiver is that there's no live VU meter that tells you how hot the levels are.
Why would they put them in there?
There's actually room. On playback, they show up, but they don't show up on recording. On the screen, you see bars dancing up and down to indicate how loud something is playing, but not when you're recording, and that's when you can really use it.
So did you manage to see today's games from the World
Championship? Well, I saw one game. I saw the Ghana game. I was very... Actually, wait, Ghana wasn't today. Togo was today. Togo is the team I'm rooting for. I want Togo to win. But unfortunately, the African teams have not been winning. Ghana deserved to win last night. They really did, you know. And I was very very sad that that Italy won in the end. I hope I didn't ruin it for you.
Oh no, I'm not. I've watched some of the Brazil Croatia.
Oh, don't tell me. Although I gotta say, Croatia, I don't envy them at all. But I don't want to know. I'm gonna watch that when I get home.
Pretty good team. I mean, I think you enjoy it. It is a game if you don't have sides to root for.
Yeah, you know, I don't have sides to root for. I basically look at the team and I decide as I'm watching them who deserves to win and who doesn't. Last night, Ghana won me over.
So what do you think about the group the U.S. team is in?
I think...
Republic and Italy.
Yeah, I think the U.S. is going to have a tough time against Ghana. I really do. And they certainly were taught a lesson yesterday by the Czechs. Czechs, by the way, number two ranked in the whole world, which is interesting because they weren't... They weren't even in the World Cup last time, and now they're number two. And when you think of it, the Czech Republic is such a tiny country compared to the U.S.
Oh, they have a good team, though.
They have a damn good team, and they could win this thing.
Yeah.
All right, enough sports. I gotta move on to another phone call. Will we be seeing you at Hope?
Unlikely.
Well, see what you can do. We just posted a whole big travel thing on the Hope webpage, and it tells how to get here for cheap.
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna play the lottery a few more times.
Okay, do that. Thanks for calling. All right, and good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Yeah, I had a question for you. Remember a couple of months ago, you played those tapes that you dug up from people asking for information in California.
Oh yeah.
Do you have those on the website?
They're not on a website, and the name of it escapes me off the top of my head. But if you go into our archive, I know we mentioned the name of it in the archive details, and we also say how you can get them.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, because I was listening to that when you were playing that night, and I had to leave my car. But by the time I got back, you showed you had finished it. So.
Yeah. No. In fact, I based on the information that the listeners helped us get, I was able to order my own copy, and now I have one, and I proudly listen to it. It has other features too, from all kinds of artists from the 1970s, and it's
where did you order that from?
From some online site, which again I don't have the information in my head, but I think it's all given out over the over that radio show of a couple of months ago. And if it's not, let me know, and I can get it to you.
Okay, cool. Okay, thanks a lot. Have a good night. I'll call back and see if you have that information.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Take care.
Have a good one.
And good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
You were talking about soccer, and I don't really, or football. I don't really know much about listening to it or watching it on TV, but listening to it on the radio.
Yeah.
It sounded better the American way.
It sounded better the American way? What, are you nuts?
Radio.
What?
Such dead air the European way. I don't have the visuals enough, so I'm not watching.
Okay, fine, fine. If you listen, if you're blind, okay, then maybe I guess watching ESPN is more entertaining because you hear people babbling on endlessly.
On the radio.
Yes, on the, obviously I can't show the video. I tried to describe the video, but if you're watching the video, you know, it's just, you just want to see the game. You don't want to see all these statistics. You don't want to hear about, you know, who's going to be announcing the game with the U.S. and all this nonsense. You just want to see what's in front of you. And that's why I like watching the ITV guy. You know, he never even says he's from ITV, never even says his name. Just, you know, calmly reports the game. And that's what it's all about.
It also was a lot of extra information that maybe you didn't need, but I certainly did.
Yeah, well,
I don't know enough about how Holland usually plays, or I don't care about the announcers, but how Holland usually plays.
Well, they do. They tell you that. They just aren't telling you that at the expense of the rest of the game. That's the thing. Hey, well, listen, we are out of time. I want to thank you for calling.
Thank you.
And it's about time for us to get out of here. Oh, this is interesting. This song, if you watch the World Cup, at the end of every game, you will hear a rendition of Go West, a song that originally was by the Village People and redone by Pet Shop Boys. Whoever would have thought that a song about gay liberation would become a football anthem? All different lyrics have been attached to it. 1-0 to the Arsene or whatever. We'll see you next week. Have a good night.
Hi, this is Albert Collins. When I'm out in Stony Brook, I'll be listening to WUSB FM station. When I want to listen to some good blues, that's the station you tune into.